Glad to be joined in the studio this morning by Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. You were out of town last week. Did my tax dollars pay for that trip?
No, your tax dollars did not pay for that. The sponsor of the event paid for it. So,
which was?
The Illinois Campaign for Political Reform.
So, in other words, my tax dollars sort of paid for it.
Well, any donations to that particular group would have paid for my trip and my lavish lifestyle of hopping the train first thing in the morning, hopping the train all the way back.
Hey, it's really a good way to go. Don't knock the train.
Oh, no, I love my train ride. Love my train ride. Exactly. Hate driving up there in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I get that. I totally get that. I understand that. So this was, we're talking to you because you were at this event with the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, and you were discussing what as part of a big panel?
The topic was addressing integrity and accountability in the 2018 elections. It was kind of a wide umbrella talking about election security, election processes, trying to make sure that the public knows what the elections are secure, actually safe, and what we're trying to do to make sure that we continue that process.
So are you saying that everything I've been hearing about potential election tampering is fake news?
I keep trying to tell the media to send me to Russia for like road trips, or then I think Hawaii might have hacked our elections. So I'm trying to see if we can get a way to pay me for me to go to Hawaii to check this out. I'm not seeing much traction with it.
I think it's going to be a much more pleasant stay if you go to Hawaii over Russia.
But yeah, it's a little cold right now over there.
A little cold. People are a little stiff, maybe.
Lots of
laid back people in Hawaii. So.
Oh yeah, but it's been a crazy thing with modern technology, the way that it is. There's the potential for attacks to be done from the comfort of their own home across the pond, or even stateside.
Since we first learned that a number of maybe election systems may have been, including in Illinois, may have been at least compromised. How much of an impact did any of that have in this area? I got the impression that at least in Illinois, there wasn't a lot that maybe that hackers tried to glean, that maybe they just did it to see if they could do it.
It was a little bit of that. It was kind of a fishing expedition to see what they could do. And then the information they did get, it was a lot of old information. So the concern was potential for identity theft, and the State Board of Elections responded appropriately, notifying the voters that were affected by it. But then there was the backlash to the local election authorities of, you got this letter in the mail, and it says that my voter records have been hacked, and they're completely scared to death. What's this mean? And then you see all the stuff in the news, Equifax being hacked, and all these other things, all this information just being chopped and chopped and chopped at. And it leads to that level of confusion and concern is like, well, if they can hack this, what else can they get?
Because we've sort of seen, I mean, just in general, a lot of data breaches across the whole spectrum, from politics and the elections here to, you know, Target and retail and things like that in recent years. So I guess you kind of always thought that maybe the one place where your information was safe may have been your voter records. And I think maybe, unfortunately, we proved that may slightly not be as true as we thought it might be.
Well, the records are safe. I mean, I want to definitely put that out on the table that no election information was compromised. They accessed voter records to basically get personal information. It wasn't how did people voted. It wasn't certain information that could be used to really do a lot of damage other than just the identity theft, which is enough damage on its own. But the election systems are secure, so there's no way that they were able to get into the voting system and actually hack and change the results of the election. At least the attacks in Illinois were only after the voter registration records themselves. So the results were more safe.
Were other states in worse shape than Illinois in that regard? Not saying that Illinois was in bad shape, but do we know of other states where the hacking might have been worse?
Well, there were other states that were attacked, the same process of attack. They had different levels of penetration, how far they got. Some were thwarted pretty quickly. Some got a little farther. But just the grand scope of things, that concern that they're coming after the voting side of things. And it's just it could be used for a subterfuge. It could be used to try to hack away at the confidence in the election results and make the voters think, does my vote really count? What happens? I mean, I voted and the vote's now floating around in cyberspace and will only count if in a certain case. And like, that's not that what we want to avoid, that problem coming out and that people thinking that that's the issue that we're dealing with.
I should probably back up a little bit. When you first learned that election systems in Illinois may have been compromised, were, for lack of a better way to put it, were you as cool-headed about this as you were now? I mean, were did you have serious concerns, or did you kind of always know that there's not much that could have happened here?
We didn't know what they were going after initially. Mm-hmm. When the State Board of Elections dropped their websites and our access down, we didn't know. They didn't tell us right off of the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, okay, the system's down. We just roll into our backup plans and go from there. We continued on doing our business as usual. Knowing the systems and the voting side of things, I knew that there was no problem with anyone ever actually getting into the election result side of the piece. So that was that part we knew was safe. As then time passed and we got more information that, it was voter records that were hacked. Here was the number of voter records that were hacked. They touched information and pieces of it, and it's like, okay, this is something we can adjust and we can deal with. How have you guys dealt with the security issues on your end? How can we deal with security issues on our end?
I don't want to necessarily say one way or the other that maybe we were here in this area, election systems and the voting systems were slow to be upgraded. Were they, or was it, I guess, maybe more deliberate, or were there questions about maybe the security of these before you kind of moved to a more digital type of a system?
There's always, whatever voting system you have, there's always going to be concerns and questions. The old punch card systems were great. You could do a lot of adjustments to them on the fly, but then, as you saw in the elections, you have the hanging chads, the dimple chads, the pregnant chads, the traveling chads.
Oh, it's been years since I've had to hear about hanging chads,
yeah.
Scott. Why'd you bring that back?
Well, it's Halloween. I thought about dressing up as a hanging chad, but then I was like, yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, that's a little extra work for me.
Yeah.
But the new technology systems make it a lot easier for the voter on the voting side. When you go to the polling place to vote, your process is going to go a lot faster. And it's still, it is safe and secure. So we want to make sure that we put that out there, that your votes are safe, your votes are secure, and your votes will count.
So you get to this discussion here last week. Was that kind of the focus of the discussion then, or
that was part of the discussion?
Yeah.
They covered they threw a very big envelope and a very big umbrella talking about election judge trainings and how to improve voting at the polling locations, concerns about turning voters away at the polling locations. We talked about the security pieces of things. And it was in Chicago, so the Chicago Board of Elections and Cook County Clerk's Office representative was there.
Well, you're never going to get rid of the dead people voting in Chicago, are you?
it's a tough nut to crack, but
and they still – and it's probably more of a serious issue for them because they have that rap of dead people being allowed to vote or people voting more than once. And, and kind of – if you're looking for a voting irregularity, chances are at one point in history you might have found it up there.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they addressed some of that issues about the people saying that you've had multiple – there's voter fraud. And one of the panelists came out and said, well, show us the voter fraud. We've had three or four cases in – a 10-year span, and none of them were ever prosecuted to the fullest extent. One of them was actually prosecuted. Mm-hmm. So the threat is there and the potential is there to have some of that confusion and that potential for voter fraud. But we like to say on the positive side that we haven't seen those numbers come through. We haven't seen that come to fruition.
I guess maybe the cynic in me thinks or wonders maybe why we're focusing so much on voting fraud and voting irregularities when, as you and I have talked election after election, voter turnout is a bigger problem. I mean, how can there be irregularities when you have less than a fifth of the population coming out to the polls?
Absolutely. That's the skew of things. And they've tried to pass some laws recently to try to improve the voter registration side of things. And then their assumption is that once the voter registration side is fixed, that the voter turnout will increase. Well, I'm of the camp that we're all in favor of getting people registered to vote. If you want to register, you want to vote, become an active part of the political process, we extremely encourage that. We want you to be part of it. But forcing you to register to vote with this new automatic voter registration law from the DMV is going to put people on the voter rolls that aren't going to ever show up at the polling location, which mm-hmm. means now instead of a 20% turnout on election day, I have a 10% turnout on election day. And then they're going to come back to us and say, what did you guys do wrong? We gave you all these extra voters. Why is your turnout going low?
Well, you gave me all these extra voters that weren't going to show up to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Springfield, it's hard to convince them that people aren't just clamoring to come and vote for them to put them back in office to continue the processes that they've been doing. So
you must have heard me yesterday when I described, in my opinion, that it seems like nothing works in Springfield ever.
No, yeah, well, they had a gas pump work once.
Yeah, see, well, you know, there is something. And you know, I did have an apartment where the front door locked. But
well, there you go. Hey, I mean.
But, and that's probably, that's probably the bigger concern is trying to convince more people to come out and vote. But on the other hand, it doesn't help, I imagine, when you have things like everything from irregularities to data compromises.
Absolutely. It's almost like a form of the old voter suppression. There's so much out there of people talking about your votes don't count. There's hacking. There's this. There's that. The people are just, you know what, my vote's not going to count. I'm just not going to worry about going on the polls. It's not going to matter. The decision's already made. And we don't want the people to think that. We want you to be an active part of that process.
Let's talk more about that in a little bit. But first, I need to take a quick break. It is 8:21. I'm talking with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson. He talked about a number of issues relating to voting at a conference put on by the Campaign for Political Reform in Illinois last week. My conversation here continues about all issues voting. It's funny, we're talking about an election when we don't even have one coming up next week. Scott Erickson, Knox County Clerk.
Now, we've had a lot of people come in and want to make sure they're going to vote. But it's like, unfortunately, we don't have anything this November. So
yeah, well, we'll give you something to vote on. It just may not be that big of a deal.
Hometown Heroes. I mean, we could do stuff like that. We'll send them you guys' direction.
Hometown Heroes is on FM 95 for those of you scoring along at home.
Well, it's part of the big family.
And you can vote as many dang times as you want. I don't even care. You don't need to show ID. You don't, you just have to vote for whoever whatever high school teams we nominate this week. That's all.
That's all. It's real easy.
And with that, I've just expended all of my knowledge of Hometown Heroes on FM 95. So anyway, in terms of, I guess the good thing I was thinking about in terms of when these voting, the potential of voting irregularities and data being compromised in Illinois came to light, it was after the municipal election here, and we still have a little bit of time before the primary in March. So I imagine that if there were things that needed to be fixed, there's really plenty of time to do them versus, you know, having an election a week from today, which thankfully we don't have.
Yes, absolutely. Right, yes, there's absolutely time to address that. And the County Clerks Association that I've been the honor to be president of this year, we've been working, put together a work group, working with the state police, the FBI, different organizations to kind of try to put together a best practices, a kind of watch. Here's what to look for. Here's what to be concerned about. And an information sharing piece of things. If you see something interesting going on in your network with your data, with whatever, to contact this organization to get the things into the queue to let the law enforcement experts who are experts in this field kind of look at it and say, yes, that's something we need to be concerned about. No, this isn't. So we're taking a proactive step to try to make Illinois the state that they don't want to mess with. Just say, you know what, go on to someplace else, leave Illinois alone.
Is that easier said than done, or is it maybe not as hard as I would think, given that the system wasn't that bad off to begin with?
We're trying to take the proactive approach. I mean, the hack was for voter information, which is bad enough as it is. I don't want to discredit any of that.
Certainly.
The information, we don't want that to come out. We don't want that ever to happen. But it could have been a whole lot worse if they were able to have gotten into the voting systems. So that's the concern now is they've got this far. We want to make sure that they can't get any farther and then can't get back in and do the things that they've done in the past. So trying to share that information amongst the election community and get that information disseminated out so that we can try to put our best foot forward.
What other things are being looked at or should be looked at, do you think, in terms of further securing the system?
Oh, there's always talk about, well, we need to do online voting, the overseas voting for our military, doing an online system. It's like you want to ask for a problem. There's the problem is you're letting our military vote without even being able to have any check and balance for them. We've got a nice system in place that allows our military to be able to vote the proper way and be able to get them all taken care of. Adding this other option for an online system is just asking for trouble. So
That doesn't say a lot about technology in a society where that's becoming more commonplace.
Right. Well, I definitely love the technology. It's just the security features that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
We can't identify that the person sitting in front of that keyboard in Germany is actually John Q. Voter that's registered with us. We don't want that identity theft issue to come where our military are being voted, having their votes cast by people that aren't who they say they are.
Even if there are logins and passwords and other ways to to perhaps try to ensure that they are who they say they are? I would still doubt about that.
I would rather err on the side of caution when it comes to the voting side of things. I take a very, very strong stance on that, that I want to make sure that everything runs smooth, and I want to make sure that who the people that are voting are the ones that should be voting.
And as you just said, you're not saying we don't want military members or those serving overseas to vote. Absolutely not.
I mean, absolutely.
You say that there is this place. I'm sure it involves the mail.
Yes, it does. But there's pieces involved with it, but it does allow our military and overseas communities to be able to be an active participant in the process. And we definitely encourage that. We have different deadlines for them so that we're able to make sure that their votes do count and get back to us in time.
And there's no concern ever about mail being compromised or anything like that?
There's always the conspiracy theories. You can go down the line that they could have steamed open the ballot and changed all the stuff and redone this and refaked that. It's like, there's a point where you've just got to say, you know what?
This is
we've
as got, good as it's going
to
get.
We've got to trust that the mail coming back from our military is secured enough that we're able to make sure everything goes smooth.
So what was the consensus at this conference in terms of securely voting and as we talked earlier, getting more people out to vote? Is there a consensus on how this should be done, mostly?
The consensus there from both the panel members and from the people that were there in the audience were that they want to make sure that the elections are run smoothly, and they don't want people that want to vote, that are eligible to vote, to be turned away. So there's processes that in the bigger communities that they're trying to address to make sure that everything runs smooth on election day. I gave them the perspective of all 101 other counties in the state that aren't Chicago and Cook County of how we do
this. Wait, there's other places in Illinois other than Chicago and Cook County?
I know.
I heard that somewhere, but I wasn't sure.
It was in Wikipedia or something. I don't know. Right. Yeah, so it's got to be true. It was on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but...
Oh, this internet that you were just doubting a minute ago.
I know.
Now you're trusting it again.
Yeah, see, it just went back and forth on it. But no, it was we gave them the perspective of what happens with the smaller communities. The bigger communities have in polling voter registration on election day that's mandated by the state. We have in voting registration, but we have to have them come back to the courthouse to register to vote. Mm-hmm. So it was like a wow, you don't have them do all these things. It's like, well, we don't have the wherewithal, the capabilities to connect live back to our servers. We don't have all these things that some of the bigger communities do. So this is how we adapt and make sure the things work properly.
So I imagine there must almost be a point to kind of wrap up here where maybe folks in some of the bigger Chicago and the collar counties and things like that might almost be envious of people like you who are in charge of elections in smaller areas like Knox County.
Oh, the election guys, they always try to drag us up to their level. It's like, oh, it works for us. You should do it too. And I was like,
I don't think so.
That's okay. No, but
nothing's ever gone wrong in a big city election.
No, not at all. No. But the big thing that we came out that the theme was that we wanted to make sure that the voters were aware that we're working hard to make sure that the elections are smooth and accurate. To check and make sure that your voter registration is correct. If you've had a life-changing and altering event, you've gotten married, you've moved, to make sure that your registration is all up to date so that when you do go to vote on election day or on early voting prior to election day, that everything is all set for and you don't have to run into roadblocks.
I keep forgetting to ask you, has it been a big deal for you being in charge of the County Clerks Association?
It's been a whole lot of work.
Really?
We've had two conferences on our own, plus then we're a part of the Illinois Association of County Clerks or the Illinois Association of County Officials, which I am the vice president of, and so in 2 years I'll be president of that association.
Oh, geez. When do you get a day off?
And then, day off, I think 2032, I think, is when the next day off scheduled. So.
You heard it here first. So in 15 years, Scott Erickson gets a day off.
Maybe. If the scheduling works right, maybe I'll be able to squeeze half a day.
And you're in charge of the Republican Party locally, as if you didn't have enough to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, sleep's overrated. I mean,
let me ask you, I'm curious now that it looks like we'll have more than likely have a primary election for governor on the Republican side. Is that concerning to the party at all, with State Representative Jeannie Ives kind of gathering signatures at this point?
It is what it is. I mean, the party doesn't take a position in the primary to support or oppose candidates. So it's just basically you hash it out in the primary. Whoever comes out of the primary will be the one that the party will support. Having more primaries than that could mean an increased voter turnout. So that's always a positive thing, that we might get some more people to come to vote. But we just don't want it to be a bloodbath where you're slinging mud at each other for all this time, and then you turn around and have to sling mud even after that into the general election.
Because that never happens in Illinois politics either.
No, not at all.
Don't want any of that. So it'll make for an interesting a year or so, if assuming, depending on how things shake out here, at least on both sides.
It's going to be tuning up to be an interesting 2018, plus my election's on the ballot too, so I'll be running. So then it's just like, you're running the election, you're running in the election, you're working with other people that are running in the election.
You heard this here first, though. Don't sling mud at Scott Erickson, because he don't want to sling back.
Yeah, I'm a positive campaigner. I'm not a big fan of the mudslinging stuff.
So I guess we'll get with primary on both sides, we'll really bottom line it to really make sure everything works.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll make sure everything goes smooth, works properly. And like I said, to make sure that the voters are all lined up and set up and ready to go and have the registrations all locked in place and ready to move and shake.
Yeah, and we talked a few weeks ago, I think, on the evening program, but that petition time is what again for anybody looking to run?
The filing deadline will be the end of the month. So I think it's November 27th through December 4th, I think are the dates for those. So they've still got a little bit of time to circulate for precinct committee people for the different races and stuff. So
very good. Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson, always great to talk with you. Thanks for the discussion this morning.
Appreciate it, Will. Thanks for having me.